南無妙法蓮華経。南無妙法蓮華経。Hello everyone, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your practice and your study. Don't forget all of our resources here on this channel. We have the audio podcast you can download. You can go to the website, threefoldlotus.com, and get lots of free information there on the threefoldlotus.com/htm page. What else? The bookstore at lulu.com/kwoon, K-W-O-O-N. And also, get a mandala, an accurate mandala, scribed by Nichiren. It's a digital copy, of course. Nichiren isn't around anymore. But we do have extant copies of mandalas he created in his lifetime. There's a whole bunch of scholarship on that alone, and his later, most evolved mandalas that he made for universal distribution. We have a digital copy of that available, easily available for you at cafepress.com/gohanzon. So get one, whatever size you need, even a travel gohanzon. So, all right. All of that out of the way, we are in the midst of an essay on gratitude. Nichiren wrote to the temple where he resided for a great amount of his scholarship, and specifically as gratitude for the mentorship of his teacher while he was at Sesshiobo. So he sent this letter to the current abbot and other senior monks who are at the school, not only as a tribute to his now deceased master, but to share with everyone the scholarship that the points of scholarship that he gained from his stay there. So it's for us, it's a great little synopsis of the history of Buddhism, and more specifically, the transfer of Buddhist teachings from India to China to Korea to Japan and back and forth between Japan and China, that is represented in his day at the time. We are now on the section which is labeled The Practicers of the Lotus Sutra, the True Dharma. So let's see what Nichiren is going to share with us in this regard. In the fifth facile, the chapter 14, Peaceful Practices, or A Good Life, it has different title, depends on the translation you read of the Lotus Sutra, but the 14th chapter of the Lotus Sutra, it is said, quote, Manjushri, this Lotus Sutra is the secret teaching of the Buddhas. In other words, this is the method of practice for all people to attain Buddha mind, yeah? This is above all the sutras, end quote. So of all the teachings that I've given throughout my lifetime, Shakyamuni Buddha speaking here, this teaching, this is the culminating teaching. This is the teaching which anyone who wants to instantiate Buddhahood immediately can attain through the practice of this sutra. This sutra stands as the culmination, the point, the end goal of all the teachings prior. This is it. That's what that statement says. According to this passage, Nichiren says, the Lotus Sutra is the true Dharma, the highest above all the sutras, including the great Sun Buddha Sutra. How did such masters as Subhakarashima, Vajrabodhi, Amoghasvajra, Kobo, Jikaku, and Chisho interpret this? Right? Because he's been talking to us about how they've all gone astray and not been able to measure the one from the other. But it's explicit in the Lotus Sutra. So how did they get that wrong? How did they get that confused, right? Nichiren goes on. It is said also in the seventh facil, chapter 23, previous life of the medicine king Bodhisattva, of the Lotus Sutra, quote, the person who keeps this sutra, likewise, is superior to any other living being, end quote. It's a pretty emphatic statement, isn't it? The person who keeps this sutra, likewise, is superior to any other living being. According to it, the practicer of the Lotus Sutra is like an ocean among many rivers. Mount Sumeru among various mountains, the moon among many stars, the sun among various bright objects, and the great king of the Brahma heaven among various kings, such as the wheel-turning noble king and Indra. I mean, the position of the Lotus Sutra is made clear several times, yeah? Nichiren goes on to say, in his Outstanding Principles of the Lotus Sutra, Grandmaster Dengyo cites the passage of the Lotus Sutra, chapter 23, which claims, quote, this sutra likewise is superior to any of the other sutras. Those who keep this sutra are also superior to all living beings, end quote. Noting that the above is a scriptural statement, Grandmaster Dengyo then quotes from the profound meaning of the Lotus Sutra of Grandmaster Tendai. Noting that this is a citation from the profound meaning of the Lotus Sutra, he interprets its meaning, quote, you should know that the canons of other schools are not perfect, and those who uphold them are also not perfect. The basic canon of the Tendai Hokke school, the Lotus Sutra, is superior. Therefore, those who uphold it are superior to all people. This is what the Buddha stated. How could it be self-admiration? Following this, it is stated, quote, details about what scholars of other schools should depend on are described in a separate tract, end quote. Thus, the effects of the Tendai on the Buddhist schools describes, quote, Grandmaster Tendai preaching and explaining of the Lotus Sutra are superior to those of others, various scholars, including the northern and southern ten masters. He is outstanding in Dang China. He is a real messenger of the Buddha. Therefore, those who admire the Lotus Sutra accumulate merits as high as Mount Sumeru, and those who slander it commit the grave error of falling into the hell of incessant suffering, the ardor of daily life, right? Attachment and lamenting and, right? Stress, anxiety. According to the Lotus Sutra and commentaries on it by Tendai, Miaolo, and Dengyo, there is no practicer of the Lotus Sutra now in Japan. They may say so in name, or they may call themselves Buddhists, but they're not practicing the Lotus Sutra, not as Shakyamuni taught it. Certainly not as I'm quoting it, right? In India, when the Lord Shakyamuni preached the Lotus Sutra up to the 11th chapter, the appearance of the Stupa of Treasures, or the treasure tower as we call it, right? He gathered all the Buddhas and had them sit on the ground. Remember, this is a provisional teaching. So gathering all the Buddhas and having them sit on the ground, and I've explained this before, that this great attendance of the meeting part of the sutra, and many, many sutras follow this form, right? Here are all the people in attendance. And judging by those in attendance, we can tell the import of the sermon. You see? But understand, Buddhism is about the mind, your attitude and your intent. So the higher the marks that your audience describes, they are mental capacities who are being invited to learn this sermon. And so by inviting Buddhas, which means all minds, because all minds can perceive Buddha. Buddha is a mind state. They're not people. He talks about them like personages, but he's only qualifying certain types of coming to realization. We're all different, right? So he's encompassing all these mental functions, these mental disparities, these manifestations of potential that are a variety. We're different people. I remember reading a book many years ago called The Seven Minds, and it was about teaching in school and how to teach two different minds, people that are very visual as opposed to people who are somewhat visual but more experiential, that they get things much more quickly by getting their fingers in the grease, so to speak, and others who are able to visualize so well while they read through texts that they can actually know profoundly just from accurate texts how to understand, do whatever. Different minds, in other words, assimilate knowledge and experience differently. And so Buddhism spends a tremendous amount of time, Shakyamuni, speaking stories and ways of learning the same thing from different points of view. And so all of his teachings before the Lotus Sutra are taught to those different minds, those different capacities, you see? But when he gets to the Lotus Sutra, he's saying, now I'm going to teach you from the perspective of Buddha, of what I myself have realized, Buddha-ness. And what I see clearly as Buddha from my Buddha-ness, how the world works, and how you too can do exactly the same thing, whatever your mind type, set, way of learning. And I repeat this often in different ways to you guys, because this is why we study, not because we have to memorize stuff, but because all of us have a different set of circumstances to get those insights, to get those aha moments, because we think through our perceptions, our experience of life. And so in some of this storytelling, there will be equatable experiences for us, and we'll get them, whereas other stories will kind of leave us wanting, or confused, or not quite there. I get that, I'll remember that, but I'm not sure what it means to me. The Lotus Sutra is a teaching taught directly to your Buddha nature. It's very different. And so in order to accomplish that, we chant its title, its concepts, its entirety. That invokes what we may have difficulties understanding. But by invoking it, we experience it. The understanding then comes with that. Do you see? It's more of a learning by doing kind of thing. So he gathered all the Buddhas and had them sit on the ground, meaning all of the minds, which, because their minds experience Buddha, can experience Buddha, would experience Buddha, and he's speaking to them, us. The great Sun Buddha alone took the lower southern seat in the Stupa of Treasures, while Lord Shakyamuni took the upper northern seat. So Sun Buddha is expressed in this mandala. This mandala is the story of the Lotus Sutra. All of the personages, the conceptual ideas, are all contained in this mandala. The great Sun Buddha is the master of the great Sun Buddha of the matrix store realm, described in the Great Sun Buddha Sutra, and that of the diamond realm in the Diamond Peak Sutra. The Lord Buddha took the seat above Buddha of many treasures, who was waited on by these two great Sun Buddhas. So even in the structure of the Lotus Sutra, exemplified in this mandala, pictorially represented with characters, conceptual characters representing these Buddhas, they are beneath, subordinate to Shakyamuni. Shakyamuni's that, how many times do we have to go over this? Without Shakyamuni, there is no Buddha, there is no Buddhas, there is no Buddha-ness, there is no Buddhism. Shakyamuni is the one who created this teaching in order to manifest what he manifested, Buddha. So of course every other Buddha takes its place underneath him. How could it be otherwise? This Shakyamuni Buddha was a practicer of the Lotus Sutra. Thus it happened in India. I mean, this is the structure of Buddhism. When Shakyamuni taught the Lotus Sutra, he was teaching how to instantiate Buddha just as he did. That was been the goal all along, right? We read it every time we recite Gangyo. Every day I think to myself how to bring others to this enlightenment. It's what we recite. We recite it first person because we're doing the same thing. It's a self-practice. In China, Grandmaster Tendai defeated the northern and southern ten masters and was revered as a great master during the reign of the Qin Dynasty. Right? We've read about that. We've heard about that. As stated in the Effects of Tendai on the Buddhist Schools, he was superior to various masters and was outstanding in Tang China. We know this from history. We know this from ancillary writings. We know this as a matter of history, that as Tendai was describing the correct understanding of the levels of Buddhism and where the Lotus Sutra was situated in the scholarship of Buddhism, he easily defeated, he broke down the misleading arguments that all these other schools throughout China didn't get it. They didn't understand. And it was easily done for him because he understood the proper levels, the provisional from the source, the goal of Shakyamuni's teachings. And everybody recognized he was right. So how in Japan, while Nichiren is alive, do these others not get that? In Japan, Grandmaster Dengyo defeated the six schools of Nara in debate and was appointed the first grandmaster in Japan. He did the same thing Tendai did. And Miao Lo. Throughout India, China, and Japan, these three were the only persons who deserved to be called, quote, the first among all people, end quote. Proper leaders, right? Therefore, it is said in the Outstanding Principles of the Lotus Sutra, quote, "The Buddha Shakyamuni has stated that it is easy to keep provisional sutras preached before the Lotus Sutra, and hard to uphold the Lotus Sutra. It is the way of a brave man to challenge the hard and leave the easy." Grandmaster Tendai, therefore, spread the teachings of the Lotus Sutra in China, believing in and practicing the teaching of Shakyamuni Buddha. Our men of Mount Hiei follow Grandmaster Tendai and propagate the Lotus Sutra throughout Japan. End quote. And as I have said to you before, same with Nichiren. Nichiren is dedicated, votary, promoting, propagating the correct teaching of Shakyamuni Buddha. It's not Nichiren's Buddhism, it's Shakyamuni Buddha's Buddhism. Nichiren is a devout scholar of Shakyamuni Buddha's Buddhism. Get that correct. Nichiren is our mentor for our day and age. Absolutely. But he did not invent what we are doing. He is facilitating it for us to practice correctly Shakyamuni's Buddhism. The same enlightenment for our own minds and his. During the 1800 years after the extinction of the Buddha Shakyamuni, there has been only one practicer of the Lotus Sutra in China and one in Japan, two in all. So he's reinstating that the clarity of understanding of Shakyamuni's Buddhism in China was achieved with Chi'i, Tendai. And in Japan, in the history of Japan, Dengyo. These two men were the most accomplished and clear-headed about the intent and the accomplishment of Buddhaness in accord with Shakyamuni's teachings. He's not including himself in this statement. Adding the Buddha Shakyamuni to them, there have been three in all, Shakyamuni being in India. Yeah? So India, China, Japan. A non-Buddhist scripture says, quote, "A sage appears once in 1,000 years. A man of wisdom appears once in 500 years. The Yellow River, with its tributaries of Wei and Qing, will be half clear in 500 years. It will take 1,000 years to be all clear." This is true indeed. Buddhist world in Japan after Grandmaster Dengyo's death. So, now he's going to speak to his culture and the history of his culture once Dengyo, one of the three men, great teachers of self-realizing Lotus Sutra Buddhism. What happened since Dengyo propagated this amazing practice? Where are we time-wise? Oh, plenty of time. In Japan, however, there existed a practicer of the Lotus Sutra on Mount Hiei only during the days of Grandmaster Dengyo. Gishin and Encho were respectively the first and second chief abbots of the Inrakuji Temple on Mount Hiei, though only the first chief abbot, Gishin, was similar to Grandmaster Dengyo. The second chief abbot, Encho, was a disciple of Dengyo 50% and that of Kobo 50%. For some reason, he romanced this idea of the mysticism and magical mudras and mantras of Kobo, who himself we've read about, was hypnotized by Kumarajiva and others, right? Not Kumarajiva. Sorry. Kumara Garashima. Anyway, the Shingon folks. At the start of his practice, the third chief abbot, Jikaku, seemed to be a disciple of Grandmaster Dengyo. After he had been to China at the age of 40, however, he became a disciple of Dengyo in name only. Although he succeeded Dengyo as the head of the Enrakuji Temple in theology, he was not Dengyo's disciple at all. Only in following the perfect and sudden Mahayana precepts did he seem to be a disciple of Dengyo. He was like a bat, which is neither a bird or a rat. He was like an owl, which is said to eat its mother, and a ferocious beast named Kakuiju, which is said to hurt the father. He ate his father, the Lotus Sutra, and bit his mother, upholder of the Lotus Sutra. He dreamed that he shot the sun with an arrow, and that stands for this. So it was a pity for him that there was no tomb for him after his death. Grand betrayal is what he's talking about. The Onjoji Temple group, disciples of Grandmaster Chisho, and the Mount Hei group, disciples of Grandmaster Chikaku, continued to fight each other like Asura demons and evil dragons. Yeah, all for their egos. Oh, we're better than you. You're not better. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm better than you. Nobody was preaching or talking about the Lotus Sutra. They were all positioning themselves to ingratiate themselves with the elite, that the Shingon had mastered this political tomfoolery. As a result, both the Onjoji Temple and the Enrakuji Temple were burnt to ashes. A statue of Bodhisattva Maitreya, Grandmaster Chisho's object of worship, it was burnt. So was the statue of the Great Sun Buddha in the Great Lecture Hall on Mount Hiei, Grandmaster Chikaku's object of worship. Both groups suffered in the hell of incessant suffering while they were living in this world. Only the central hall of the main temple built by Grandmaster Dengyo remained unburnt. How curious is that? Grandmaster Kobo's will was not followed. He willed that those people who have not had the receiving the precepts ceremony at the Todaiji Temple should not be appointed the abbot of the Toji Temple. Ex-Emperor Uda, who built the Ninanji Temple, had appointed a priest or monk of the Toji Temple to head the temple, issued an edict saying, quote, "Those who have not observed the perfect and sudden precepts of Mount Hiei should not be the abbot of this temple," end quote. Therefore, the present monks of the Toji Temple are neither disciples of Chenche, those who had the receiving the precept ceremony at the Todaiji Temple, nor Kobo, as they keep the perfect and sudden precepts of Mount Hiei, they could be disciples of Dengyo. However, they are not truly disciples of Dengyo, because they lost the fundamental spirit of the Lotus Sutra, which Grandmaster Dengyo upheld. On the 21st of the third month of the second year of Jōwa era, Grandmaster Kobo passed away, and an imperial emissary was sent to bury his body. Later, his perplexed disciples deceived the people by saying that he did not die, but entered meditation. That they went to see him meditate and shaved his head. That the three-pronged iron bar, which he threw when he was about to leave China for Japan, reached Mount Koya. That the sun rose at midnight when he prayed, that he became the Great Sun Buddha while he was alive, and that he taught 18 kinds of esoteric practices to Grandmaster Dengyo. Whoa, what an imagination. Thus, people bought it. Thus they fooled the emperor and his subjects, upholding their master's wrong doctrines by exaggerating his virtues instead of preaching them with wisdom. Two temples, the main temple and the Deboin temple, or Deboin temple, are located on Mount Koya. The main temple was built by Kobo, and there an image of the great Sun Buddha of the Matrix Store realm has been enshrined. In the Deboin temple, built by Shokakubo, an image of great Sun Buddha of the Diamond realm has been enshrined. These two temples have been fighting each other day and night, just as the Enraku-ji temple and the Onjo-ji temple have. The grave error of deceiving people committed by Kobo, Chikaku, and Chisho have caused these two turmoils. A pile of dung, even if shaped like sandalwood, will smell like dung when burnt. Piling up lies, even if someone claims them to be the Buddha's teachings, you will only fall into the hell of incessant suffering. The tower that appeared as the grave of Nigantha Nataputra, founder of Jainism in India, continued to deceive the people for years, but as soon as Bodhisattva Ashvaghosha had meditations there, it fell into pieces. Those of you who've asked me over time about Jainism. Kiben Brahma's drapes hanging on a tree could deceive many people for years, but when Bodhisattva Ashvaghosha accused him, it was torn into pieces. Having been a stone for 800 years, Uluka Brahman was changed into water when attacked by Bodhisattva Dignaga. Though Taoists had fooled the people of China for several hundred years, their cannons were burnt to ashes when pursued by Matanga and Chufalan. Just as Chiao Cao took over the Qin Empire by assassinating the second emperor and Wang Man of former Han usurped the throne, those men of Shingon Buddhism robbed the Lotus Sutra of its territory and gave it to the great Sun Buddha Sutra. The king of Dharma has now disappeared from this country. How can the king of this country be in peace? At present, all the people in Japan are the followers of Chikaku, Chisho, and Kobo. None of them can escape from being the slanderers of the true Dharma. Everyone has been fooled. This is the world I, Nichiren, am now living in. This very confused, lost its way, spiritual mysticism. They've lost the truth, the simple truth. All being paraded around like monkeys playing these games. So the next chapter, aptly, Nichiren in the Land of Slanderers. This is the context of Nichiren's life. Considering the matter deeply, I think that the people at present are like those who believed in the false view of Monk Kugan and fell into the hell of the latter age of degeneration after the death of Daishogun Buddha. After going through many lives, here we go with this translations. Gosh, no end of frustration for me. Manifested in worlds of six different beings, realms of hell, hunger, animality, asura, right? The manifestation in mental perception, these lower realms, of which there are 3,000 we interpenetrate and travel through in every single moment of life. The home base, the place where they seem to gravitate, are in these lower realms. They were finally born humans and became monks under the guidance of Isaimuyo Buddha. However, due to their terrible errors, they again fell into the hell of incessant suffering. In other words, just because you're born human, if you use your opportunity as a human to stay in these lower realms, then you're in the lower realms. You're going to suffer. You're going to be in a state of unrest all the time, right? Anxiety, stress, so on and so forth. Even if somehow you gain entry to a good school, if your mind isn't right, then what difference does it make? Those who, in the days of the latter age of degeneration of powerful voice King Buddha, had slandered never despising Bodhisattva, fell into hell, suffering there for the length of 1,000 kalpas, even though they had repented. Men of the Shingon, Zen, and Pure Land schools in Japan have not a bit of repentance in their hearts. So it is without doubt that they will wander about suffering in the hell for countless kalpa. Right? My fence analogy goes here. Right? You sit on a nice concrete block fence waiting for 5 minutes for your friend to come out of the house to go play. Then, you know, you sit comfortably and you wait, and 5 minutes goes by and you're fine. But the same situation sitting on a picket fence can seem like an eternity of waiting, right? If you can even last 5 minutes. So that's the analogy here. It can feel like forever when you're transmigrating through the lower worlds. You're suffering horribly for your own stubbornness. So it is without doubt that they'll wander about suffering in the hell of countless kalpa. Since Japan is such a hopeless country where people slander the true Dharma, hope has abandoned it. As hope abandoned it, its old protective deities or wishes or forces also return to their own homelands of bliss after burning down their shrines. We don't need to be here. Opportunity doesn't need to be here. The manifestation of the potential of enlightenment doesn't need to be here, as everyone's working against it. I'll move on. Right? Only I, Nichiren, remain in this country to declare these facts. The ruler of this country was reproachful of me and had hundreds of people slander me, speak ill of me, attack me with sticks and swords, and chase me out of my house. As I did not stop my protest to the government, the ruler personally exiled me 2 times. On the 12th of the 9th month of the 8th year of the Bunei era, 1271, he even tried to have me beheaded at Tatsunakuchi. In the Sutra of the Golden Splendor, it is said, quote, "If the devil-minded or evil-minded people are respected while the good ones are punished, the country will be attacked and destroyed by foreign enemies." End quote. It is said in the Sutra of the Great Assembly, quote, "If there is an evil-minded king who practices wrong teachings, interferes with the disciples of the Buddha, slanders them, speaks ill of them, hurts them with sticks and swords, robs them of their daily necessities, and bothers those who support them, the king of the Brahma heaven and Indra will immediately send foreign armies to attack him. And also his evil acts will cause several sufferings, civil wars, epidemics, famines, unreasonable storms, fightings, and court fights in this country. They will also cause him to lose his country before long," end quote. What these sutras mean is that if I, Nichiren, were not in this country, the Buddha would be a liar who never fails to fall into the hell of incessant suffering. In other words, the teachings of Buddhism themselves indicate the backlash of the actions we take. If our actions are deeply unlife-affirming, then we will experience non-life-affirming actions. The universe is our mirror. Our environment is our mirror. It shows us exactly who we are. If things aren't going right in our mirror, it's because we're influencing them to be there. We need to change that influence to heal that, to overcome that, to rise above that. This is why we chant Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Let me establish Buddha and influence others to establish Buddha properly, effectively, immediately, and then my environment will mirror that. I will be supported. I will find life amazing. Obstacles will melt away as I melt them away for others. This is the crux of bodhisattva practice. Makes sense? And now Nichiren will continue. The next portion of this letter is pointing out the gross error of slandering the true Dharma. What you're actually putting into the universe, into your life, your experience of the universe, by acting in discord with the engine of the universe. We'll save that for the next video. Do you see how amongst all of the flowery stories and hyperbole and so forth, fundamentally, Buddhism is just a common sense doctrine. Buddhism, as Shakyamuni taught it, is a sharp criticism of fanciful, wishful thinking, and a very dry, matter-of-fact, if your attitude is right, your intent is right, if you get your mind right about observing and objectively seeing the world without all of your subversive little attachments and wishful thinking and magical, you know, unreasonableness, if you can, with reason and rationality, observe the world and the universe at large, it becomes incredibly clear how your behavior should be to match it, to equate your environment, the universe itself, with your experience of it. If you continue to try to manipulate it into your little cubbyholes of power or avarice or whatever, the universe will just do what it does. And you'll be swallowed whole because you won't be flowing with it. You'll be trying to be counter and disturbing it. You can't last that way. You may endure, but your lifetime, your experience of this magnificent engine of life will diminish, either in length or in length and sufferings, so on and so forth. I mean, it's a very simple formula. Get in rhythm with the immensity and beauty of this life process, and you'll experience all of it magnificently in accord with life affirmation. how could there be any suffering in your life then? As long as you're sensing static and bullnosed obstacles, they're just reflections of karmic energies that you're trying to force fit into something that's glorious and much, 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 much bigger. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. This is why we chant. To get into that flow. To be with everything instead of categorizing everything. It becomes so much easier. Right? Swim with the current, not against it. You'll make much better progress and it'll be easier. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you. Please like. Helps us get this video out to more people. Subscribe. If you're interested, hit the notification icon. But like and subscribe. Please do that. It's our Bodhisattva mission to get more and more people involved with correct practice of Shakyamuni's teachings. Through our great mentor, Bodhisattva Nichiren, we get a very clear idea of how we're supposed to be doing this. And through resources like this that we all grow together, we can ask questions, use the comments, and learn as much as we can about how this amazing practice works. Thanks again. I will see you in the next one. And as I say always, bye for now.